You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, this is Tim Rice, and this is episode 33 of my podcast, Get Onto My Cloud. As I record this podcast, the ghastly 2020 is tottering to its close. Nonetheless, I wish listeners as merry a Christmas as possible, and of course, a much better New Year.
The nights are colder. And anyway, the snow has covered all your footsteps, and I can follow you no more. The fire still burns at night, my memories are warm and clear, but everybody knows it's hard to be alone at this time. Just another winter's tale.
A Winter's Tale, written by Mike Batt and me. Title, more or less, by W. Shakespeare. A Yuletide hit back in 1982, sung by one of the nicest guys you could wish for in the music business, David Essex. This is the 33rd podcast I've recorded since I began to get onto my cloud back in the early days of lockdown. Like nearly everybody, I thought that lockdown and or its variations would be over within a few months, if not weeks, and that once I got back into the swing of things, I would neither have the time nor inclination to continue with these offerings. Furthermore, in 10 or at most 20 episodes, I would cover most of the shows and projects I've been involved with since I unintentionally fell into the musicals business in 1965. Well, of course, I was wrong about the length of the COVID crisis, but also wrong in thinking that I couldn't keep going much beyond 10 or 20 weekly chats about my life and times. Here I am, having turned out a third of a century of 20 to 25 minute thoughts and reminiscences, and I know I could keep going for quite a while yet without repeating myself too often. Whether my audience can keep going for quite a while yet is, of course, another matter, but there's still quite a bit to reveal or rehash. I've written the complete lyrics for 11 stage musicals. The likes of Us, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Jesus Christ Superstar, Evita, Blondel, Chess, Starmania, Heathcliff, King David, Aida, and From Here to Eternity. 4 film musicals, The Lion King, The Road to El Dorado, Jock of the Bushveld, and Nutcracker. 2 oratorios, Comeback Richard and Cricket, although Joseph started out as an oratorio. And made substantial contributions to 3 stage musicals, Beauty and the Beast, The Lion King and The Wizard of Oz, and to 2 film musicals, Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast again. And some of the stage stuff became a film, and even vice versa in the case of a couple of Disney movies. There were a pair of concept albums, such as 1984, yes, Orwell, with music by the marvellous Rick Wakeman. Then, of course, there are dozens of one-off songs for movies or records, 90% all but unknown, plus lyrics written for special occasions, usually a parody tribute to a distinguished artist such as John Mills or Herbert Kretzmer, or my favourite, a reworking of One Night in Bangkok in honour of my late manager David Land. All in all, I'm knackered just thinking about it, and I might have forgotten a few things. If you'd asked me when I was at school what I wanted to do when I grew up, assuming I would grow up, writing lyrics for theatre would not have been high on the list, if at all. Despite my obsession with pop music and rock and roll from the age of 11, it never crossed my mind that I could have a career in any form of entertainment, not even behind the scenes, working for a record company or a music publisher. In insane daydreams, I often thought it would be terrific to be a recording star, like the giants of the day, Tommy Steele, Cliff Richard, Marty Wilde, Billy Fury. But this seemed to be a world away from my conventional middle-class upbringing and beyond serious contemplation. Although I was part of Lancing College's first and almost competent pop group, the Aardvarks, so named because we would be top of any alphabetical bill, even ahead of ABBA, not that we knew about ABBA back in the early 60s, not even ABBA knew about ABBA in the early 60s, the thought of mounting a challenge to Marty or Cliff was ludicrous. The Aardvarks did make a privately funded EP, which we managed to pay for by flogging copies around the school, but when it came to the long-term future, I was steered towards respectability and, rejecting university, the law. I worked for 2.5 years in a solicitor's office, failing my exams 3 times. Finally, after the 3rd debacle, getting the message, and a lowly job as a management trainee at EMI Records. And around the time I abandoned any ambition to become Rice QC, I met Andrew Lloyd Webber, and his certainty about his career and his determination to succeed as a composer for the theatre was as impressive as his musical talent. I hardly ever went to the theatre as a child, other than on school trips to local productions, mainly in Harpenden and Hertfordshire, of Gilbert and Sullivan. I performed in a few school plays without distinction and indeed without lines in most cases. My grandmother took me to see my first West End show in 1954, Salad Days, the show which fired the young Cameron McIntosh to pursue a career in musical theatre. Maybe Cameron was a noisy little pest in front of me who kept jumping out of his seat.
We're looking for a P-I-A-N-O. We're looking for a piano.
A piano?
Yes, a piano.
Just any old piano.
The one that's rather rare. We're writing thorny phrases till its reputation blazes from the page we sell for crazies in the Tuppenny Daily Scare.
We're looking, we're looking, we're looking.
Piano.
Yes, a piano.
Just any old piano.
No, the one that makes you dance. Oh, R is Beckham's.
It must be near to where we are. We've seen it very lately.
You need not fear, we'll go too far. We'll only dance sedately.
It's come, it's gone, it's out of sight. This piano's most elusive.
We'd like to buy the rights to write and keep them quite exclusive.
Willow, King Willow, King Willow, look, 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 look. King Willow, looking for a P-I-A-N-O.
We're looking for a piano.
A piano?
Yes, a piano.
Just any old piano.
No, the one that's not allowed. Its owners are requested to appear and be arrested, for it makes the park congested when they draw so large a crowd.
They may decide to be benign, but first it would be wise to be sure they're able to define the crime they close their eyes to.
Unlicensed joys are out of date. They have to be recorded on printed forms and triplicated and filed away and hoarded.
King Willow, King Willow, King Willow, look, 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 look.
We're looking for a P-I-A-N-O. We're looking for a piano, yes, a piano, not any old piano. No, the one that makes you gay. We have a sort of notion that a dash of sprightly motion is a stimulating potion to be taken twice a day. We're look, 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 look,
we're looking for a piano from the original 1954 West End production of Salad Days, music by Julian Slade, lyrics by Dorothy Reynolds and Julian Slade. I loved Salad Days and was enthralled by the words, just any old piano, as much as I was by the music. Maybe more by the words, as was certainly the case when I first heard Gilbert and Sullivan. The only other West End musical I'd seen before I met Andrew was My Fair Lady, with the original stars, Julie Andrews and Rex Harrison. I already knew every syllable and note of the score before I saw the show, thanks to my parents' extensive LP collection of original cast albums and soundtracks of stage and film shows, of which My Fair Lady was my favourite. I particularly loved You Did It, the wonderful scene where Rex Harrison criticises Eliza's Hungarian suitor. Every time we looked around, there he was, that hairy hound from Budapest. Never leaving us alone, never have I ever known a ruder pest. Sometimes I try and meddle with the genius of Alan J. Lerner and try my own version. What if the man referred to in that song was not Hungarian, but Romanian? Every time we looked around, there he was, that hairy hound from Bucharest. Never did he leave you be, even worse, for it was he whom you caressed. I think Alan J. Lerner has the edge over the 14-year-old me. Time and time again, it was brilliant lyrics that first grabbed me. If the words had been below par, I might not have been turned on to the marvellous tunes of either Frederick Lowe or Arthur Sullivan. I didn't really think about the reasons for my enthusiasm for particular songs or shows until I met Andrew and began to analyse some of the shows I knew and enjoyed via my parents' long-playing records. And another thing that struck me was that, however magnificent the recording of the show, it never made me feel I absolutely had to see the show itself. Of course, I was more than happy to see both Salad Days and My Fair Lady, but it wasn't my idea to go. I just loved long players, LPs, which gave me all the stage and movie musicals experience I needed back then. I loved a long-playing record's feel and shape, its blackness, the covers, the artwork, the label, the sleeve notes, the sometimes mysterious names and numbers on the label, the very grooves, the inner sleeves, the writing on the spine of the package, the hole in the middle. Well, perhaps I'm going too far. But the point is, I was, without really knowing it, a vinyl junkie. Just as, without really knowing it, it was the words that floated my boat before the music. Of course, Andrew's expertise and blazing confidence in his music, but not so much in the words of school friends he'd worked with so far, he was still only 17, had made me see all this. Even the rock and pop songs I'd loved most had tended to be strong lyrically. Writers such as Felice and Boodle O'Brien, Eddie Cochran, Chuck Berry and Jerry Lieber. Wake Up Little Susie, The Bryants, Summertime Blues, Eddie Cochran, almost anything by Chuck Berry, who often used the same tune for several different hits. And the Coasters and Elvis's early hits such as Yakety Yak and Jailhouse Rock, words by Jerry Lieber, were all songs that would have graced any Broadway show. Except rock and Broadway never mixed back in the 50s and 60s. Even an apparently nonsense lyric such as Tutti Frutti and its unforgettable opening A Wop Bop A Loo Bop A Lop Bamboo would be half the number it was if Little Richard's opening shout was, say, Gee, I love you, baby, and you know I do. Little Susie, the Everly Brothers. A wonderful story told in just over 2 minutes. The movie wasn't so hot. It didn't have much of a plot. We fell asleep, our goose is cooked, our reputation is shot. Racy for its time, 1957, and for the pop charts. Written by husband and wife team Felice and Boodle O'Brien, a number one record in America. It would have held its own in any musical. I shall be ever grateful to Andrew for educating me about the nuts and bolts of musical theatre and giving me the opportunity to make it my living. But in return, I think I contributed to our early efforts by my obsession with records and knowing that a song, however great the melody, cannot be displayed at its best with lyrics in a secondary role. Andrew obviously knew all this, but it was important his lyrical partner did too. The best stuff is written by equals. My other early musical, non-rock and roll and pop loves, included Paddy Roberts, The Ballad of Bethnal Green, Tom Lehrer, Poisoning Pigeons in the Park, and Flanders and Swan, all initially delighting me through the words. Michael Flanders' wit and wisdom in his partnership with Donald Swan in songs such as A Transport of Delight, their tribute to the big six-wheeler scarlet-painted London Transport diesel-engined 97-horsepower omnibus, or Mud, Mud, Glorious Mud, the Hippopotamus song, were assuredly lyric-driven, with irresistible Donald Swan music helping the words, sensitively, indeed, modestly. And then there was this gem, another of their stage hits, the New Song.
Here's another animal song. A year ago, last Thursday, I was strolling in the zoo when I met a man who thought he knew the lot. He was laying down the law about the habits of baboons and the number of quills a porcupine has got. So I asked him, what's that creature there? He answered, yeah, it's a helk. I might have gone on thinking that was true. If the animal in question hadn't put that chap to shame and remarked, I ain't a helk, I'm a Ganu. I'm a Ganu. I'm a Ganu. The nicest worker of nature in the zoo. I'm a Ganu. How do you do? You really ought to canoe wahoos wahoo. I'm a Ganu. Spelt G-N-U. I'm not a camel or a kangaroo. So let me introduce, I'm neither man or moose. So gano, 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 I'm a gano. I I had taken furnished lodgings down at Rustington-on-Sea, whence I travelled on to Ashton-under-Lyme, it was actually. And the second night I stayed there, I was wakened from a dream, which I'll tell you all about some other time. Among the hunting trophies on the wall above my bed, stuffed and mounted, was a face I thought I knew. A bison? No, it's not a bison. An okapi? It's unlikely, really. Could it be a hearty beast? Then I seemed to hear a voice. I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. A another gnu. I wish I could gnash my teeth at you. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to know wahoos, wahoo. I'm a gnu, spelt G-N-U. Call me bison or a copy and I'll sue. Gnor am I in the least like that dreadful, hearty beast. Oh, gnu, gnu, gnu. Gnu, 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 I'm a gnu. Gnu, gnu, gnu. I'm a gnu.
The new song. Or rather, the gnu song. I'll need several more podcasts to explain, if only to myself, how and why I've ended up writing lyrics, but I hope some of the reasons and inspirations have emerged in this podcast. I could end with W.S. Gilbert, Alan J. Lerner, or Tom Lehrer, but as they haven't yet featured me in their podcasts, I shall arrogantly end with a song from the concept album I mentioned at the start, the 1981 album based on George Orwell's 1984. The song is Julia's Song. Music by Rick Wakeman, sung by the splendid, spectacular Chaka Khan.
Coming back for more. nothing can take that away.
That was episode 33 of Get Onto My Cloud, the podcast written and presented by me, Tim Rice, and produced immaculately by Peter Hobbs.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com. The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the SUFS. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, SUFS celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. SUFS has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.